This is day one. We've been here before. Things are different now. They tried to tear us down. Didn't work. Said we needed a roof and four walls. Screw that! This park will be our new dojo. Because you don't need a dojo to be a dojo. Is that understood?
Yes, sensei!
I started Cobra Kai with one nerd. This is a step up. And if we're gonna be taken seriously, we need a name that commands respect. A name that elicits power and dominance. Cobras are strong. They may be the king of the jungle, but the world's more than just a jungle. And there's only one animal that can kill a snake.
A mongoose?
A real animal, Bert. Welcome to Eagle Fang Karate.
Eagles don't have fangs.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this, of course, is House Podcastica Cobra Kai Edition.
This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 3 Episodes 7 and 8, Obstaculos and the Good, the Bad, and the Badass.
That's definitely how you pronounce Obstaculos. We know that for a fact. Maybe.
Right.
We're going with it.
All right.
Gringo, that's how you do it.
We are three gringos. Wait, maybe Rima's a gringa. I'm not sure. We don't know. But we're heading down the
council
home stretch
person.
Here. And we, council person. And this week, it's our top three highlights for Cobra Kai Season 3, Episodes 7 and 8, Obstaculos, and the Good, the Bad, and the Badass. So what did you guys think in general? Whoops.
Well, I think everybody's on board the karate train.
I know. That's what these were about, really.
Yeah, Carmen's on it. Amanda got on it. The city council's on it. I guess it's going to be time to fight. Both of you know
time.
What else, too, was that both episodes had pretty awesome cold openings.
Mm-hmm.
That was I was a little disappointed. Allie didn't show up, but, you know, hey, there's still two episodes left.
Two more episodes.
Yeah. So wait, what were the cold opens? I forgot already.
Was it the first one was
Tori?
Tori showed up
during
like
Tori, yeah,
killed Sam,
which is like,
whoa.
I guess I don't know if they had this in mind, but they keep calling her Freddy Krueger, and now she shows up in your dreams.
Oh wow!
Yikes!
And then the other one was the speech by the three senseis.
Saying the same thing,
but then interjecting
their own sort of takes on what karate is all about. That was fun. Like,
you could have just shown us those two openings and it would have been good.
Yeah. It was cool how they ended too, with all three of them kind of giving those speeches, and it shows like that single panel of, you know, Johnny and Kreese and Daniel.
Yeah.
They're like all kind of lined up. Yeah. Like that. Good effect.
Yeah. I didn't like these two as much as last time at first. And I think that was just because it was so great when Daniel went to Okinawa and everything. All that stuff was so good. But now I've had a week and a second watch, and I'm like, oh yeah, this feels like Cobra Kai getting back to kind of what Cobra Kai usually is.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great. And so I like them both.
They're setting something up.
Yeah,
they're
setting up
something big.
Up too. Yeah. But even when they're setting it up, it's pretty fun. There's a lot of good stuff to like, I think.
Yeah, totally. It's pretty hard to, when you peek on episode 5. A little bit downhill from there.
Well, Ben was saying he really liked 5, but it seemed like he really liked the end too. He didn't want to talk too much about it, and we're glad he didn't, but I feel like he did, so we'll see. But Rima, anything else in general?
No, I agree with you guys. It was, you know, I think really great episodes. I think after my second watch, I liked them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Kind of, like you say, kind of coming off of episode 5 and being in Okinawa, you know, that left you with some pretty great feelings. So it was like, oh, how do we improve on that? And how do we get better? But, you know, I like how things are really moving forward. I have no idea with only two more episodes how they're going to pack everything in and what's going to happen next. But I like these episodes. They were definitely episodes that got me going and gave you that good Cobra Kai feeling as usual.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, number 3, Richard.
I found parts of the city council meeting to be quite entertaining. I don't think we need to go. Well, I'm not going to narrate the whole thing, but you know, first when the guy comes to Miyagi-Do to tell the LaRussos about all the Valley, you know, the All Valley tournament is canceled. I forget his name, but he came in, and of course, you know, Daniel and Amanda are questioning why. Why would they cancel the All Valley tournament? And then the guy says, "I don't know, something about wanting to something about not wanting to foster a culture of violence." And I'm like, yeah, that kind of hits it right on the nose. That's probably why.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
And then I was like, was that supposed to be tongue in cheek? But, you know, they played it off as like they were being serious, because then Daniel's like, "What? They're going to cast Karate as the villain without any context whatsoever?" It's kind of what the whole show is predicated upon. Yeah, I think again you hit it pretty much right on the nose. But anyways, I just didn't know if that was supposed to be funny or not, but I found it pretty good. Anyway, I loved when Amanda stands up and yells, "Hey, you leave my daughter out of this, you piece of shit."
I think I laughed
the hardest at that one. That was great. After
could almost see Lucy doing that.
Yeah, I know. That's what made me laugh so much.
That's Richard's wife, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
After Kreese, you know, said, wasn't it your out of control daughter that started the fight? I was like, oh, he's not wrong.
I mean, it's funny to me because they're supposed to be defending the tournament, trying to get it reinstated right after, yeah, they learned that it was canceled because it might foster this culture of violence. And here they are just yelling at each other. He put live cobras in my cars. And it's like, you're not helping your case here at all.
Exactly.
Didn't your students just attack my students? Well, they started it.
Yeah, the adults were not being adults at all. They completely
kind of proven the point.
Yeah, they reinforced the council's argument, and the kids had to come in and be the ones to make sense. And
even Kreese, like, he started off being like Eddie Haskell-ish, saying council person and saying, you know, he was from the military and everything, but he couldn't help but shoot himself in the foot a little bit too.
Yeah, and then watching Johnny laugh when Amanda said that too, that got me going too.
Oh yeah,
he was just like, was awesome funny. But that was probably my favorite part of both episodes. Yeah, yeah, and it was funny. it was a moment too to see all three of those guys on stage at the same time. I was like, yeah, that's a pretty powerful image.
And when they all three sat together, yeah, like, mm-hmm. when they were telling them to sit down, I was like, oh, look at them sitting next to each other.
And Daniel has a suit on. And like, he just goes a little overboard sometimes, but he wants to look serious. And then
in his briefcase, yeah.
Kreese had kind of his old man clothes, I guess. And Johnny had this cool leather jacket, some jeans. That's more how I would aspire to dress, I guess.
another funny moment was somebody brought up a swirly, and council person was like, "What's a swirly?" And Johnny pops up like, kind of behind everybody. It's when you dunk someone's head in the toilet and flush it. It's pretty funny, actually. Yeah.
And I'm pretty, I don't know. I think the councilwoman like took a note on that. She writes it in her notebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
familiar, I think
at the very end, council person Roberts says, "I don't really get the Valley's fascination with karate. And you're willing to sign waivers that the city is not liable," then I was like, yep, there it is. That's probably the most realistic thing that happened in those two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to be liable. You can all go beat the shit out of yourselves. As long as you don't want to sue the city, that's fine.
Exactly.
Those were some moments I enjoyed out of the council meeting.
That kind of leads into my number 3. Do you mind if I go next, Rima?
No, go right ahead.
So mine is justification for karate training. And after how last season ended with the big karate fight, and I was wondering how the show could go forward, you know, and I feel like, yeah, these two episodes were the work that they needed to do to further the plot of Cobra Kai was to help justify why Johnny and Daniel would start training kids in karate again, and why everyone would be on board with it, the kids, the wives and girlfriends, and us, the audience, too, and sort of examine whether they actually succeeded in making their case. And because we had this big karate fight, Miguel maimed and possibly paralyzed for a while there with his mom blaming Johnny. Sam is anxious, scared to death, having panic attacks, dreaming about Tori. And so how, you know, what's the justification for going on with it? And this whole thing about the city canceling the tournament and not wanting to foster a culture of violence, which makes sense. The response to it sheds light on why the show thinks karate training is justified still. I mean, it was interesting to me that Johnny and Daniel, when they heard the tournament was canceled, they both were like, yeah, maybe this is a blessing in disguise, but the kids are the ones that convince them not. And Sam, one of her reasons is that Miyagi-Do got blamed for what happened to Miguel, and she thinks canceling the tournament would give the impression that, you know, make the whole valley think that they're the bad guys. And
right.
And Miguel, he wants to fight in the tournament, which it's unclear whether he's actually going to be able to. And I think it's ridiculous that anyone would even consider that. But anyway, just to sort of prove that he can win again, that he's gotten back up on his feet. For Carmen, she's appreciative of Johnny because he's done so much for Miguel, got him out of his wheelchair and made him lively and smiling again and everything. And she said she'd blamed karate and Johnny for Miguel getting hurt, but now realizes it wasn't his fault. And she realizes that Johnny was just as hurt as she was about what happened to Miguel. I'm like, well, he could be hurt about it, but it could still kind of be partly his fault that it happens, you know? But and also I'm not sure I believe that even if she did think it wasn't Johnny's fault, that she would ever want her son doing karate again after he was almost paralyzed. So
yeah,
I'm not totally buying this, but anyways, right. Carmen.
And then she jumped his bones.
Yeah. They broke his TV and he didn't seem to care.
It's like the third time he's broke his TV, hasn't it?
Is it really? I haven't been paying attention. Amanda, she's saying, you know, tells Sam, I'm sorry, I got mad at you for training the other kids. I mean, Amanda's, I think, basically saying, you know, nothing that your father and I have done has worked and the bullying is just getting worse. So she sort of accepted that Sam needs to know how to defend herself. And she's 100% on board. And that reminded me a little bit of, this is like maybe an obscure reference for most people, but did you watch Greatest American Hero?
Yeah.
Ralph Hinckley got this suit that let him have powers, and he had this FBI friend who wanted him to go out and help him combat crime, but he was always reluctant at first. I think the first season, he didn't want to be there. And then at some point they decided it was a drag to not have him on board with it. So they had him just change on a dime and suddenly become really invested and excited about it. And it was kind of a relief, but it felt a little bit like, oh, they're doing a change in direction of the show just to make it better. And it felt like that a little bit with Amanda, like, really? Would she just
yeah. be
against it so hard? And then
he did flip. I found it kind of disturbing that she didn't really know what was going on with Sam either. It's like, you don't seem to be too in tune with your kids, you know? It's like, you'd think she'd be a little more concerned. Oh, she's just not sleeping well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, how about you figure out why, you know?
I just sort of assume that sometimes teenagers don't, it's really hard to get it out of them what's going on. But yeah. You had teenagers and I haven't yet, so I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're walking around with PTSD, it's going to be pretty obvious, I would think.
Yeah. And it is, like, this whole season, she seems really upset.
Yeah.
But it's actually Miguel and Sam that really make the point. I think that actually started to maybe bring me around to it. I mean, they say, when they spoke at the hearing, they said they're the ones getting hurt and they want a place where they can compete fairly and safely. I think that's kind of the idea that was in the original Karate Kid movie. Like, let's have saved this for the tournament so these kids aren't beating each other up on the streets, you know?
Exactly, that was, yeah. That, I think that's the single best reason to
to do it.
Continue with the tournament. Yeah,
because the tournament kids, anyway, yeah.
Kids can focus all their energy on that and not go out into the street and beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm just sort of thinking this through right now. That's a good reason to continue the tournament rather than cancel it. But is it a good reason to keep training the kids in karate? You know, maybe not. But then Miguel's saying, you know, hey, there's bullying. Instead of burying your head in the sand, pretending it doesn't exist or you can just get rid of it, you need to teach kids how to defend themselves. Okay, maybe. And then Sam says physically and mentally, because sometimes the scars you can't see are the ones that hurt the most. And so, and Miguel saying karate is about inner strength and confidence. And that, those are the reasons why I would, why Nico's in Kung Fu. I feel like it teaches you, well, I like him to have this experience of being in his body and really having a good sense of his movement and stuff like that. But yeah, like that inner strength, that confidence and I think that, and hopefully if he ever does get in trouble that he could defend himself. So those are the reasons why I would, but I would just still as a parent be like, but you can't go out and like attack your, these kids, you know,
yeah.
Make sure to like talk it through and be like, this is for self-defense. Like Daniel's trying to do, you know,
be a badass, but what do you guys think? An asshole.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What do you say, Rima? Because you're in karate. Have you seen any changes in yourself?
It's, you mean like aggression or
yeah, anything?
How many fights have you been
physically,
in
obviously, but mentally too? Yeah.
I haven't been in any fights since I've been in. I've been in it. It's just been a little over. It'll be two years in March. So I haven't been in any fights. It's definitely for me anyway. I hope I don't have to use what I know, but if I get into a situation, you know, that I have to defend myself, whether it's, you know, someone, you know, like a male, you know, trying to assault me or attack me, or if it's just another female, you don't know, what might happen. You
techniques
know, at least
might
I
differ
know.
Slightly there, but yeah.
Maybe it always
grab and twist might not work as well.
The grab and twist and the growing chest don't work as well with women. So yeah, I might have to, you know, improvise a little bit on some of those, but, you know, I feel empowered. I feel, you know, like I'm more capable. You know, I've never been afraid if someone has, you know, or well, I shouldn't say not afraid. That's not true. I've been afraid because I've been in situations where I was attacked and assaulted. And that was kind of led me to why I made the decision to learn better techniques. But as far as like school fights or something, you know, I would never back down from a fight if a girl wanted to like kick my ass or something, because there were those situations as well. I don't know. I haven't had the need to use it. I don't feel like I want to go beat the hell out of someone just, you know, for looking at me wrong. It's, you know, it's still, we're still taught, even though it's a different form of martial arts, and it's, you know, it is pretty aggressive than other disciplines, but we're still, you know,
she's talking
still,
Krav Maga, by the way, for people who don't remember.
Yeah, sorry.
Krav Maga.
But, I mean. Yeah, so it's still, you're taught, you know, you don't just go up and start fights. It is about, you know, you do try to de-escalate. You do try to defuse the situation. You always try to be like, hey, let's calm down, you know, let's think about this or whatever. And if it comes to it and you have to defend yourself, then it kicks in. So, you know, I don't feel the need to have to just walk up and hurt someone always.
Occasionally, it's a good thing we're sequestered to our homes.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing I'm at home. No,
no. What about just sort of, you know, do you feel more like self-possessed at all, or just having this practice of this body practice?
Well, I'm not sure I know what you mean by that.
I don't know. I just feel like if you were doing something like that, you might just carry yourself a little more
have
tall
more confidence.
Or something. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I've always had a some form of confidence, but I now just have added to it that I have more confidence that I can protect myself or others, because there's a lot of, you know, you don't just, we have a lot of things that we learn that it's not just about defending you if you're with someone, you know, a spouse, a friend, a child, you know, how you defend yourself and that person in that situation and how you take care of that person, get them out of the way of harm, while, you know, you take on the person coming at you. So I feel more confident with that. So I would say it's definitely helped my confidence to feel a little bit better if I'm ever in a situation that I was in years ago that made me want to learn, you know, a martial art, that I would feel better about being able to handle it. So, but okay. I've never had a lot of confidence issues. Maybe that's part of my problem.
That's great. Well, though, that's I don't think though. Of you better as an arrogant person. You know, you're just, yeah. I think it's great to have self-confidence.
We've all had Dan Wattman. We have mutual friend Dan Wattman, and he learned karate at a young age, and I think it kind of turned him into a bully for a little while.
Yeah, it did.
And then we have a friend, Spencer. He learned Aikido. He learned it really well, and he kind of turned into a bit of an asshole, too. You know?
Yeah, let me show you this technique.
It's like a testosterone thing, maybe?
I don't know. No,
I think it depends on the person. That, it could be, yeah, in general. Probably more guys end up like that than women, I would guess. But I think not all of them, not by a long shot. And I also think it depends.
Not a blanket statement by any means.
No, but in general, I think probably. And it depends on the person. But also, as Karate Kid and Cobra Kai teaches us, it depends on the teacher, too. Probably, you know, if your teacher really stresses, hey, this is practical, this is meant to get you out of a sticky situation versus you're going to be a badass now. I mean, I don't know how many self-defense teachers would really do that, but
not any
did,
good ones anyway. It's definitely not what you're supposed to do. I've never heard of any disciplines that they teach you, you know, like creased, you know, no mercy and strike first.
But even if it's just a little in that direction, it could be bad. I mean, Danny, he and I knew each other starting in fourth grade. I forget, he was on the podcast last season. I forget if we probably talked about this, but he was picking fights all the time, kicking people. He was into Taekwondo. But the thing is, he's turned it quickly, like by sixth grade, even he turned into one of the nicest guys I've ever met and one of my very best friends. So that was just a phase with him. And he kept on doing Taekwondo for years after that.
Yeah. Same with Spencer. Footnote, they're both guys turned out to be okay.
They are good guys. Let's make that clear.
They're not racists. Yeah, I'd say Spencer's more of a Johnny and Dan's more of a Daniel, but all right. It's your turn, Rima. Number three.
My number three, I wanted to point out something in this episode that I really connected with, and that was the idea of not letting fear prevent you from doing things. I really love, you know, Daniel's talk with Samantha and how they kind of tied in Karate Kid 3 in here. I think it's fun. We're getting a little bit more of that. I know they always kind of sprinkle the movies throughout, but we're really, I think, getting a lot of focus on 3. So I'm curious to see where that's going to lead us for the last two episodes and in the fourth season. But
is that bad guy Bobby Barnes? Is that his name? Bobby Barnes, the bad boy of karate.
It was Barnes, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if his first name was Bobby, but Barnes is right.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's the first time we've seen a flashback of
Mike Barnes.
Mike Barnes.
Mike Barnes. Yeah.
Good.
Oh, I'm a horrible Karate Kid fan. Yeah.
Bobby was one of the Cobra Kai guys.
It's cool to see.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool to see, but, you know, it's something that I try to tell myself all the time is to not let fear conquer, you know, when I want to do something or if I'm afraid to do something. It's, you know, I try and think about why I'm afraid and try to overcome that and do things in my life that, you know, like I'm super scared of sharks, you know, and like going out into the ocean, but I went snorkeling with sharks to try to help like overcome that and, you know, get over that. Cause I feel like, you know, a healthy dose of fear, I think, is good. I think being fearful a little bit is a good thing. It kind of keeps you out of dangerous situations and doing something stupid sometimes. But I think at the same time, you have to kind of look at things. You know, I really connected with that, and I really love that because that's something that I feel strongly about. And that
I mean,
clip.
Yeah, she got scratched by Tori, and that's
now
she's
scarred.
Triggered by Tori. And the fact is that she could hold her own against Tori, but her fear is not letting her be her best self there. So yeah, because I'm just bringing this up because there is a reason for fear, as you're suggesting. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes, like, oh, I don't want to be afraid of stepping in front of a moving train. Well, you probably should be afraid of that. But there are some things where you think it through and you're like, no, that's an irrational fear and I need to fix it.
Yeah, I think you hit it too with you said earlier, Rima, about helping others or defending others, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably a major part of Samantha's issue is Miguel got paralyzed almost.
Yeah.
Probably scares the crap out of her.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I really like that. I like that. And I like that they made the connection to what Daniel was trying to teach Samantha in this episode, to connecting it to what Mr. Miyagi told Daniel in Karate Kid 3. Because, you know, I give Karate Kid 3 a lot of crap. I'll talk crap about it. It was not one of my favorites, but it was kind of so good, or so bad it was good in a way. Like, I feel like I appreciate it a little bit more and more as time goes on. And especially, of course, the Terry Silver impersonations that you guys bring out always is a lot of fun. But it helped, I think, elevate a little bit for me Karate Kid 3. It reminded me of that scene when they mm-hmm. replayed that. So I liked that as well.
Yeah. Cool. So for people who didn't go back and watch it, I would recommend checking it out if you're really digging all this Cobra Kai stuff, just to have mm-hmm. a fuller picture. But in that movie, Mike Barnes was this young karate champion who was total asshole and wanted to fight Daniel. Well, for a few different reasons, but he kept harassing him, like to get him to do the tournament. And he basically beat the shit out of him. And then in the tournament, he also beat the shit out of him. And he kept, I think they had some dumb rule where if you do a move that's not allowed, you get a point taken away. So he kept hitting him to get points and then hitting him in a illegal way to get points taken away just to torture him.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And Daniel couldn't hold his own against him.
That's no. why Mike Barnes like, was a damn come good on. Fighter.
Yeah, and he was just like, I'm scared, Mr. Miyagi, as we saw in Cobra Kai here. And then Miyagi said, focus. And then he got one measly little weak punch in and won the whole tournament.
Yeah.
That's why it was so dumb. Just but it is a good message.
He got lucky.
Well, it was a good message yeah. to not let fear overcome you. It's fine yeah. if you lose. It's okay to lose to an opponent, but don't lose because you're afraid.
Yeah, don't run away and hide.
Yeah, and I like that, so.
Life hack.
There you go.
New podcast name. Okay, Rich, what's your number two?
Poor Robbie. My goodness, I didn't think it would happen, but I felt bad for him, man. He gets released from prison, and right off the bat, tellingly, there's Johnny and Daniel arguing as he walks out, and Robbie's, you know, simply, he's just like, I don't want to have anything to do with you guys. He doesn't want to have anything to do with his dad or Daniel. And then when Robbie meets Tori at the probation office a little later, she says, you know, Sam's going to turn on you, and I'm like, yeah, she probably is. And he's going to join Cobra Kai because Sam's going to be in the middle. And he always seems to fall for whoever's just standing in the closest proximity to her. So Robbie is going to feel betrayed again. You know, his mom is in rehab. Daniel never visited him. Johnny tried, but he also screwed up a time or two. And he, you know, the poor kid feels like he's got no one. I realized I was feeling bad for Robbie because it irked me a little bit when he showed up at the Miyagi-Do and Sam and Miguel were doing their little thing. And Sam was like, oh, it's not what you think. And I'm like, yeah, kind of is.
It's pretty much exactly what yeah. he's thinking. I feel the same way. Like even before they were kissing at the party last season. Miguel and Sam and yeah. Tori saw. And then when Tori confronted Miguel about that at the sushi place a couple episodes ago, he's like, no, what? And I'm like, what do you mean? What? Yes, there is something between you guys and you're flirting heavily and kissing and you're just blowing these people off when they say there's something going on. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was at that point I realized, oh yeah, this poor kid, man, he's just been beaten down and everything he feared was confirmed. Like you just said. So, you know, and another thing, too, is that Robbie didn't seem to have any remorse about what he did to Miguel in that little confrontation. And he even tried to punch him. He even tried to strike first. And I was like, dang, this kid is prison hardened, man.
Yeah.
He's having a tough time of it all. So
I know. Heart went out to Robbie. Because there was that whole thing the first season of Robbie was a bad kid and Daniel showed him some compassion and patience and he became a Miyagi-Do student. And Miguel, who was a good kid, went to Cobra Kai and got a little hardened and arrogant. And it was, I felt bad about Miguel because I wanted to see him be that sweet kid again, as I've said before. But Robbie, I was like, cool. I'm glad that he's getting a dose of some healthy behavior, you know, fatherly-like behavior from Daniel for the most part. But now he's, yeah, it's just gone to shit and he's back he's gone to Kreese, who's basically the devil.
And Robbie could be the most dangerous of all because he's got some fire in him now, man. He's pissed. And if he learns what Kreese teaches him, woo, look out.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Poor Robbie. All right. Poor Robbie. All right. Mine is Yasmin and Dimitri and the other couples. There's a lot of couples.
Oh, yeah. What'd you feel about that? I remember you were saying you didn't really want it to happen.
Yeah, I was thinking about that,
too. I was because I was thinking of, well, nobody's going to know, but there's this show called Greek that was on ABC Family a few years back. Maybe there's one person listening to me that watched that. It was kind of like Animal House on TV, like as a series, you know, it was fraternities and sororities. And this one main kid in that was this goofy, geeky kid. And there was this beautiful woman. And this is where, who played Gareth in Walking Dead? You know that guy?
I know the actor and I cannot for the life of me think of his name. I follow him on Instagram and I can't think of his name.
Hold on. Andrew J. West. He was in that show. That's first thing I ever saw him in. And there was this one woman who played one of the sorority sisters in the show and just totally beautiful woman. And he ended up married to her because they were in this show together. Andrew J. West married her. I forgot her name too, but in the last season of that show, they had the goofy, geeky kid start dating her. And it was just like, what? No, this is, I mean, you know, I'm all for the underdog, but it just felt like, no, it doesn't feel real. You can even see the actors were like, really? and I've seen that before where it just like doesn't compute, you know, it just, if they could make it make sense somehow where it feels like there's some reason or some attraction, but it just felt like it was in the script. So they did it, but it didn't really work. Now that's what I felt like was going to happen here, but I actually liked it more than I thought I would. Because I'm not sure I'm reading it right, but if you watch The Office, did you guys watch The Office?
Yes.
Seen some of it, yeah.
Well, Michael Scott, the main dumb boss, hooked up with his boss, Jan, who came off very businesslike, but she had this thing where she kind of got off on how wrong it felt to be with this guy because of how messed up he was or how goofy and she'd say something and like when Dimitri said to Yasmin, if it means anything, I've had multiple back wedgies and they're no picnic, she got the same "that's so dumb that it's a turn on" look on her face that Jan used to get with Michael. I thought I don't know, I might have been reading that, but anyways,
that makes sense.
You know, I think it was more about when she said you know, I had the front wedgie and I know it doesn't feel good to be laughed at, that she's identifying with him there.
Yeah.
And that was from season one when Aisha gave her that wedgie at the party,
right,
at the park, that everyone laughed at poor Yasmin. So it's another case of someone who's used to be a bully showing vulnerability on the show like they've done so many times. But anyways, when Kyler drew a penis on Dimitri's cast and Yasmin takes her marker and she's doing something to it, and I thought she was going to make a picture out of it or something, right, to make it not so bad. But it says, "I love your big dick, Yaz."
That shows you how dumb Kyle is, too. It's like, you're supposed to draw a small penis, not a big one. And now it's just a big phallic symbol.
It's funny. And then Dimitri goes, "Wow, that really, and then he just, like, he's getting ready to make one of his usual dumb jokes. And then he just looked her in the eyes and goes, "Thank you." And that hit home with me too. It's a small moment, but it just I've learned a long time ago that if you joke around all the time, then no one takes you seriously. And sometimes you just need to be sincere and be real, you know? And I think that probably went a long way with her too. And so, I don't know, I thought it was kind of fun when Miguel and Sam came around the corner and they were kissing and then she pretends not to like him. Ew. And then he's all, "Yeah, why don't you, okay, Cruella, why don't you go kill a bunch of Dalmatians?" And then he turns around and goes, "I'm 101% in love with her."
Yeah.
So
I felt happy for him. I mean, he just had his arm broken, you know, by Hawk. I mean, he was like kind of like, at the bottom of the barrel there, and now he's, you know, standing on top of the world.
Yep.
I still am, like, on the fence about whether it's believable, but the way they did it in this episode I thought was pretty fun, and I was entertained, so that's what more can you ask? We mentioned other couples, Johnny and Carmen, they hook up. Well, actually, before I go on to other couples, is there anything else you guys had about that too? What did you guys think about it? About Yasmin and Dimitri?
I didn't mind it. I thought the only problem that I had with it was the fact that they're trying to say, nothing's going on with us. We don't really like each other. Ew. But yet they're making out there in the middle of, like, the school hallway.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, you're not doing such a great job of trying to keep it a secret that you guys have, you know, something going on. But, you know, I think other than that, I was okay with it. I had a feeling that Yasmin was going to have a moment of, you know, she'd been humbled and felt what it was like to be on the other end of being bullied. So I had a feeling that they were kind of going down that route and seeing how she was kind of being a little bit more open to Dimitri, like when he had that science project there in the lunchroom. And of course, that got completely demolished by Hawk. But, you know, I could kind of see that there was, you know, a little something coming down. And I think that, you know, it was, I don't know, it felt a little bit more natural to me. I know that it's like a pretty typical trope to have the real hot, cool, popular girl, you know, fall in love with the nerd or whatever. But, you know, I think I was okay with how it ended up, you know, seeing as how they both kind of had some things in common. And once she was, you know, able to get that stick out of her ass and see that, you know, he's a person just like she is, and they might actually have something in common. You know, I think that's believable. So I was okay with it.
If I really concentrate and I think back to my 16-year-old self, I probably would have broken my arm to get with the hottest girl too. You know? Just how you are when you're 16.
Mm-hmm. You got injured a lot too. And now I'm like, huh, that's what was going on?
That was a strategy, man.
Worth it though, wasn't it?
Oh, poor Richie.
Yeah, I'm paying for it now, 40 years later.
Good advice for young men.
I'm not kidding either. Richard got injured quite a bit. Okay, so Johnny and Carmen finally hook up. That was pretty fun. I like that she initiated it. Sam and Miguel back together, looks like. We already talked about that. I don't need to say anymore. And then what?
Maybe now after this episode. I mean, to me, they were still being friends and starting to get into that flirty zone. You know, I don't think that they were officially a couple. It seemed like they were kind of flirting with that. Like they were trying to be friends again after, you know, what happened between them and, you know, kind of coming, at least being able to just be friends. And it seems like things are sizzling back up. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're sizzling up to the point where it's disingenuous to say, oh, it's not what you think. There's nothing going on. It's like, well, maybe in one more second we would have been kissing, but we didn't yet. So it doesn't count.
I don't disagree with that. I'm not.
But yeah, I wouldn't say they're together. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was headed that way. I think that if Robbie hadn't interrupted, they would have been kissing in one more second or two.
Yeah,
but
maybe two. Yeah, two and a half. Yeah. And then there's Daniel and Amanda, of course, and then maybe Robbie and Tori. I could see them getting together now. I bet that's where the show's going. Mm-hmm. Who knows, but we'll see. So I wanted to ask you guys, who do you think is the best couple or potential couple in the show?
Oh, God. Well, you know what? Like, instantaneously, I just thought of Johnny and Carmen, but then...
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, that could give him a lot of stability, could give him direction, could give him, you know, something to think about before he says and does a bunch of dumb shit stuff, but... What's the X variable here? Allie?
Maybe they'll get together. Yes, that's where they're going. I'm calling it. Allie's going to show up, and she's just got a divorce and wants to get back with Johnny or something.
Allie's married and has a family. That's not going to happen.
My worry is that we only got two episodes
Might be a
left.
Lie. Facebook lie.
I think she's just going to be a cameo.
She might not even be a surgeon. Maybe she's like, you know, it's all a Facebook lie.
Then would you still like her?
Fake profile.
Depends on what she's doing. Is she a capital rioter? I mean, insurgent? Maybe not.
Right.
That'd be awesome. Okay, where are
as
we?
As long as her pictures are real.
That's all.
No fake profiles, please.
Okay, where are we?
my number two,
I guess. I think so. Yeah.
Well, I'll switch mine around because, Rich, you were talking about Robbie and your number two. So he was actually my number one. So I'll just kind of add to what you were saying. And, you know, I've struggled liking Robbie a lot during the series. I always find something to kind of, you know, rib against him on. And, you know, the season, you know, I felt like I was kind of turning around a little bit. I was really starting to feel kind of bad about the situation he was in and the obstacles that he's had in life. And, you know, I know it doesn't give an excuse for bad behavior, but I was feeling for him just a little bit. And the more I thought about it, it's like you said, you know, that he doesn't seem to feel any remorse at all about what he did to Miguel. And, you know, he ran away after the fight. He blamed everyone else for everything. And he didn't show any remorse to Miguel, never went to visit him, never went to say, man, I'm sorry. That escalated. That went really bad. I feel bad for what I did. And, you know, he didn't do any of that. And then he shows up at Miyagi-Do and he's ready to fight him again. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't feel like I can sympathize, you know, with him and think that he's going to like turn good after
even
that.
Though he saw him with Sam, it's more important. I mean, I kind of agree, like, you almost killed this kid, like,
yeah. I mean, I don't know, I don't think that gives you a reason to start a fight, dude. Just walk away, you know. It you
well
know,
he didn't I, though right or he seemed upset, but they didn't fight.
No, he charged after him and Sam intervened because he went to punch and okay. Sam grabbed his arm yeah. and away and then pushed him away and said like, no,
yeah.
you know, yeah, so he was trying fought, to throw yeah. a punch.
Yeah, that's okay. So yeah, that's bad.
So yeah, you know, I don't like that. And I feel like he's, you know, he tells Daniel like, it's your fault I'm in here. And it's like, well, you almost killed another student. How about a little bit of self-reflection? You know, do you even feel sorry for what you did? And it feels like he's constantly in this victim mindset. And it's just starting to really bug me. And, you know, now, of course, it's just going to get worse because now here he is at Cobra Kai. And he's got like the worst person that could, you know, be a mentor or a father figure or anything to him. You know, that's just going to like Johnny was saying, poison his brain. You know, and I'm just, I don't know what to think about this kid.
Yeah. His turn to the dark side is almost complete.
Yeah, it totally made me think about that. I was watching just last night, finished up watching the prequel series again, the Star Wars prequels, and, with, Anakin going over to the dark side, you know, the path to hate leads to suffering and all that. Or whatever the actual quote is, fear leads to hate, hate leads to suffering. I felt like Robbie is similar to on a similar course as that. And Kreese is Palpatine.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He is evil.
But I mean, you know, just looking at, because I like to understand what makes people tick. And even if I, like Samantha said, everyone has a sob story, that doesn't mean you get to be a bully, but I do feel some compassion towards Robbie just because he didn't have a father figure and he's had a rough life and everything. And he's, I mean, he's a teenager, so you go through all these, you want to be free and feel like you can be your own person. And he's mad at Daniel for putting him in juvie, but Daniel did the right thing because if he hadn't turned himself in, his punishment would have been even worse and he might have still been locked up somewhere.
Yeah.
But he can't see that. So, I mean, ultimately, I agree with you, Reem. I think, come on, Robbie, you need to, like, have some sense here. But I know when you're a kid like that, it's hard to think clearly about all this stuff. You're just kind of a slave to your emotions.
Yeah, that's all stuff you don't realize until you're older.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I that's why I've tried to cut him some slack. I'm like, I know he's like 16, 17 years old and you know, your brain isn't fully developed and, you know, you don't have all the life experience and stuff, you know, as when you're an adult, and it's easy to say it now as an adult and
yeah.
admonish kids for thinking that way. But at the same time, I would just expect him to at least feel bad for what he did to Miguel.
Absolutely. Like, I know that's pretty
bad.
That
was messed up.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a show that needs drama, so it's pretty dramatic to have him go with Kreese, and
totally.
we'll see what happens. But no,
I get it.
You're right. Okay, my turn. No, Richard, you're number one.
You know, I saved this one for last because I think it'll be a good segue, but we got three dojos now. I like the possibilities where this could take us, right?
Yeah.
Especially with the action and the fighting. So each dojo has a star player. You got Hawk and Tori, and now maybe possibly Robbie for Cobra Kai. You got Sam from Miyagi-Do, and you got Miguel from Eagle Fan.
Eagle Fang.
Eagle. Oh, I'm sorry, Eagle Fang. Yeah, Eagle Fang. So that would make for a pretty exciting tournament, you know? I mean, it sounds like the cards are stacked in Cobra Kai's favor, so. At least that's what I'm assuming where we are headed, right? To a tournament, because, I mean, I don't know.
I think season four, about it.
No, I was wondering if the tournament would happen in the final episode of this season. It could.
I think it would be a hell of a time jump, though, because wasn't the tournament like months away? And I know that the time is a little slippery in the show. Like, I feel like Dimitri in one scene still had his cast on, and then the next scene of Miyagi-Do, it was off.
The reason why I think it could this season is because we've already had three build-ups to tournaments. Karate Kid, Karate Kid 3, and the first season of Cobra Kai, where I don't know if they would do a whole another seasonal build-up to it. I could see them just doing it in two episodes.
Well, they did. They did in episode 5 when they flashed back to, it wasn't like an official tournament, but with Chosen and Daniel kind of tournament style from Karate Kid 2, they were kind of reflecting on that in this season so far too. I don't know. I just don't think we're going to get there.
I'm not sure what you're saying, but my point is just that I think that they maybe wouldn't do a whole, like, let's build up to another tournament over the course of a whole season thing. You know, now that we've experienced so many tournaments, they might be more quick to just kind of skip past all that stuff and get right to it.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Considering the time thing, they could just do another montage like they did.
But we'll see.
To get Miguel out of his wheelchair. I mean, that only took like a minute, right?
Yeah, right. It's kind of ridiculous. It was cool to see Johnny get him up on his feet, but it's sort of an insult to physical therapists and all the work they put in.
Yeah, what happened to the hippie guy?
Yeah.
Positive thoughts, man. Yeah. Flowers and skunks.
Well, that's why I was talking about the time thing a little bit. I feel like this show's, you know, kind of, you're not always quite sure, except for things like that, you know, where they are in time and how much time has passed between all of these events. Because I feel like it was supposed to be a couple of months from the time that Miguel, you know, was in the hospital and woke up, had a surgery, to him getting back up on his feet. Robbie had to at least have served a couple months, I feel like, in juvie. You know, it's only been like 7 episodes, or it took the 8th episode, the second one where he got out. So it took 8 episodes for him to get out. I feel like it was supposed to be a couple months, I feel like, that's passed here, but they don't talk about it too much in the show. So, I mean, they could, it could be the term. I feel like it's going to be season 4 though. But
it feels like it. I mean, I could totally see them making a big deal, going to the tournament, and then guess who shows up? Allie! Right in the middle of the tournament, and it's going to be just like Karate Kid, the first movie, all over
Maybe
again.
Maybe she's a karate champion.
Right, yeah. She comes in and kicks everyone's ass.
Sets them straight. Yeah.
That'd be kind of awesome.
Or maybe they're just misguiding us. I mean, they've done that before. They're just heading us down that road now, and then all of a sudden, big, huge left turn at the last episode. I really don't know. And now I can't wait to watch him when we're done podcasting right now.
We'll find out.
Finally. This has sucked, by the way, not being able to watch them all. Right. Hated it. Can't do that next time.
Well, it sucked on two levels, not being able to watch it and just let it go to the next episode. How many times I had to scramble for the damn remote control before it started the next episode. And then secondly, you have to avoid all the media. You can't read articles. You have to avoid the headlines.
Reem's all, you whiners.
Yeah. In one ear and out the other. I'm just thinking, y'all weak. No, teasing.
Don't like it.
Where are we again? I'm lost again.
That was Rich's number one, unless you have more to say.
Yeah, you got more?
No, that's it.
Okay, callbacks. Daniel takes Sam out on the boat on the lake, and of course I'm thinking right away, oh, that's like when Miyagi took Daniel to stand on the bow and learn balance, and then he mentions it to her, the same thing. Why don't you stand up there? And then she gets mad at him for trying to sneak some karate training in, and then realize later that the fishing pole casting was also a sneaky karate training. Show me, cast the rod. But
okay, man. I wish I could cast a rod once and then be a master at using
he said that was just a happy coincidence. He wasn't really trying to, you know, and I don't think the point was to try to trick her into doing karate. I think he saw something was wrong and wanted to spend time with her, but that was just a natural thing to suggest since they were out there. But I really love too the way he showed so much patience with her. Like, she's like, you can't help me. And he's just like, well, walk me through it. You know, he just kept, not aggressively, but just kept being, no, I want to hear, I want to help. Let me know what happens. And finally she told him. And so that was really nice. He can be a good father sometimes, not always, but anyway, when Daniel said he wanted to understand why she doesn't want to do karate and that he wants to help, she says, it doesn't matter. You can't help. And he goes, I can't if you don't tell me what's going on. And that reminded me of the scene in Karate Kid where Daniel's mom sees him throw his bike away. Stupid bike. I hate this bike. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what's going on? And she goes, listen to me. I cannot help you unless you tell me what's wrong. And he goes, I got to take karate. That's it. She's like, you took karate, not at the Y, at a good school. She goes, fighting doesn't solve anything. And he goes, yeah, well, neither does palm trees, Ma. So it's a reversal, because in that scene, the son wants to take karate, but mom doesn't want him to. And here in Cobra Kai, daughter doesn't want to do karate, but dad does want her to. So it's kind of a reversal, but it's a similar situation where the child has to be coaxed to say what's wrong.
Yeah. And mom too now.
Yeah, mom wants her to. Well, I mean, I guess, yeah. I think Daniel was a little more like wanting to push her to do it, whereas mom was more like, well, she really wanted to do it and I yelled at her. Now I feel bad, so I'm going to go tell her I'm sorry. And then she just says, well, I don't want to do karate now. And mom's like, God, I don't understand these teens today.
Like every mom.
The whole flashback to Bobby Barnes.
Mike.
Shit. I had it wrong in my notes too. Mike Barnes. Thank you. Yeah, we already talked all about that. I didn't have anything else. I didn't find as many callbacks this time. So that's
there
it.
There weren't as many.
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty just straightforward storytelling here. I didn't have that many notes either.
Do you have any?
Let's see. It's just some funny stuff like, did you guys think the cold opening when Tori and Sam were fighting was real? I mean, I did for a little bit there until, you know, I was like, no.
I thought it was real. They got one over on me until she dunked her head in the water. And I was like, oh, would she really do that? I don't know. Maybe this is not real. And then.
I think it was about halfway through I started thinking, this isn't really making sense.
Yeah.
But at first I did.
Same. That was a pretty good cold opening. I enjoyed the little montage there where they got Miguel out of the wheelchair, especially when how Johnny had him lifting a keg.
Hold up.
hold it. That was pretty good. Bum, 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 bum. Triple K. You mean like KKK?
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. Yeah,
probably shouldn't do that.
He's so clueless. How long does it take for a message to get to Colorado? Probably a while, right?
Right. It's the triple K thing. It's kind of interesting that the show is called Cobra Kai, and now Cobra Kai is the villain's dojo. And I wonder if Cobra Kai will change hands again or what.
Yeah. I laughed, but then I was also like, what a jerk when Johnny gave his little speech to his former Cobra Kai students, and then as he walked away, he knocked the books out of that poor kid's hands. Yeah.
Sorry, kid. Force of habit.
Old habit, yeah. I was like, what a jerk.
He said he was sorry.
Yeah, at least he caught himself.
Yeah. And then when he started his new Eagle Fang dojo out in the park, I really was kind of hoping Hawk and his buddies were coming around the corner, that scene where they came around the corner and Miguel's like, hey, we got some company. I was really hoping they were there to join Johnny's dojo, but then, you know, Kreese and the rest showed up behind him, and I was like, oh, man. But it was good to see.
I didn't think they were going to join.
Yeah, keep it going.
I was hoping, I think is what it was.
I was hoping, but I was like, probably not going to happen.
I thought but it was cool when Miguel shows up at school, and everybody's applauding for him. And then Hawk shows up and they're like, he's like, hey, buddy, you know, and then he's like, Cobra Kai's kicking ass right now. And I mean, meaning to talk to you about that. And then the way that whole thing played out where he's like, he just told him, I don't want to be a bully and all that. So that was pretty cool the way it all played out between them.
Yeah, totally. Mm. And it's good to see that scene where in the park where Kreese was, you know, said to Johnny, "I'm giving you one more chance." And Johnny, like, was, you could see he doesn't want to have anything to do with Kreese anymore. In fact, he had more hate in his eyes than he did anything else now. Yeah, there's no fear anymore. I was just like, that's good. That's
Yeah, that he's not going to be talked back into it. If he does, that's dumb. I mean, it's pretty clear he's over it at this point.
Yeah. Well, we had another product placement, Crystal Light.
Yep. And
State Farm.
State Farm, yeah. Yeah. So glaringly obvious.
Yep.
I see what you did there. That's pretty much it for notes.
Rima?
Well, since we skipped over my number one, I'll just have my number one as part of my notes. So I just want to kind of add on to what Rich was talking about with the, like, we've got three dojos now. I was just excited to kind of see the Eagle Fang karate, see what Johnny came up with. And, you know, the pick of the eagle with fangs was really funny. And clearly, I think, in honor of Johnny's love of Iron Eagle. So that was really funny, a little bit of a callback, it seemed. And I do like that Johnny confronted Hawk and the other Cobra Kai kids and admitted where he went wrong. And, you know, wanted to do right by them and was encouraging them to, like, come join his new dojo. And, you know, I think it just shows a little bit more of Johnny's growth. You know, he's not perfect because, like you said, Rich, he turns around after that speech and then knocks the books out of that kid's hand. So he's still got a little Johnny flavor to him, but, you know, he has grown quite a bit. So that's good. So I'm really excited. I read online a lot of people were already out buying, you know, their Eagle Fang shirts, and I know I'm way behind in that whole thing because everybody's already binged it and we're just now getting to these episodes, but I think I'm gonna have to get one of those. I feel a little less guilty getting the Eagle Fang karate than I do the Cobra Kai shirt. So
that's funny. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah
they've got them for sale, so yeah, they're out there. So and I think we talked about most of my other notes. We talked about the cold open with the, you know, three dojos and the three senseis. We've talked about the couples. I think that covered all my notes.
I'm going to go into that a little more. It's almost like I have another point here, but the three approaches, because, yeah, it was cool to see that we have three teachers, Daniel, Johnny, and Kreese, and them all together at the hearing, and they have their three approaches, and Miguel being on Johnny's side now, not wanting to be a bully, and Hawk, and, you know, I mean... There's still the question, like, Miguel was mad at Johnny after when he woke up and said, "I did what you said. I showed mercy. Why did this happen?" And Kreese here is saying, "My students are strong. They're true fighters, and they wouldn't make the mistake of showing mercy and ending up in a coma." And Hawk is saying that Johnny got soft, you know, when he confronted him at the high school, and we paid the price for that. So I'm curious to know how in his mind Miguel has reconciled all that, because I don't think it's really been super clear. He says he doesn't want to be a bully, but what does he think about what happened there where he showed mercy and he suffered for it? You know, I want to know. But anyway, as far as their three approaches, it feels like Johnny and Daniel are barely on the same page, but maybe Johnny's kind of in the middle. I feel like he's a little mixed up still. He's got some mixed messages going on, but that whole montage at the beginning kind of did a really good job of talking about that. So I'm just going to play it again because I thought it would be fun to hear. So I have it right here. It's a couple of minutes long.
A while since our last class. After the fight at the school, I wasn't sure Miyagi-Do should stay open. But things have gotten worse since we shut down. That's why we're back. The only way to stop Cobra Kai is if we all work together. But always remember, the reason we learn karate is
to show the world that you're not a bunch of pansy-ass nerds. You're gonna show them that you're tough. Because eagles don't get shit on. They're the ones that do the shitting. Just don't forget, being a badass doesn't mean being an asshole. The goal isn't to hurt other kids. The goal is to win at all costs.
Those we thought to be our allies have turned against us. Now our enemies are attacking us from all sides.
There is no turning back. Now is the time to show them
forgiveness, compassion. Mr. Miyagi used to say, if you're looking for revenge, you could start by digging 2 graves. He was right. If you have hate in your heart, then you've already lost. I know it's not easy, but you have to do whatever you can to
beat the living crap out of him. Don't let him push you around. You gotta swoop down like an eagle. Grab him with your claws and sink your fangs into him. But I don't ever want you to start the fight. I just want you to finish it. For good.
Do I make myself clear?
Yes, Sensei!
I like how Johnny's the one that has to say the transcript that sounds like it was written by a high schooler. Eagles are the ones that do the shitting.
Do the shitting. We don't get shit on. It would have been good to hear what they were going to say a couple of times, like, the goal is not to hurt other kids. The goal is to what? What is the goal for Johnny?
Whatever you're going to say.
But it seems like the most important. I mean, he says you need to beat the living crap out of him. So that's still not so nice. I think the main point that Johnny has landed on and what he's learned out of all this is you don't strike first. So I think that's basically the only difference with him now. Maybe not no mercy either.
All boiled down to don't start the fight, just finish it.
Yeah, exactly. More notes. Watching the sequence where Johnny goes around trying to look for a place to have a dojo and the rents are really high. The shittiest place is still $3,000 a month. And he ends up training in the park. Made me realize why I see people teaching yoga and tai chi and stuff in parks all the time.
Right, yeah.
The park is nice, but it probably has something to do with that too. Johnny says to Hawk and the other Cobra Kai, you want to stick with Kreese, go ahead, but don't say I didn't warn you when your life ends up in the shitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what reminded me too of the Star Wars prequels and with Anakin went with Palpatine and plus, Johnny feels like,
he's speaking from experience too, right there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some funny things. So when Johnny's looking at his message thread with Allie and she hasn't answered and he's like, how long does it take for Facebook message to get delivered? She's in Colorado, so it must take a while, right? It's instantaneous. I like when, we already talked about that one. Yasmin says, your cast smells, and Dimitri's like, I put a lemon rind down there to mitigate that. Is that something that people actually do?
I've never heard of that myself, but
I would believe it. My wife puts
might not be such a bad idea.
She puts a whole lemon down into the garbage disposal, supposedly to clean that up.
Oh, okay.
That works. Yes.
Smell good. Yeah.
Yeah, but I've never heard that for a cast, and never heard that advice. So.
It might get kind of yucky down there after a while.
So you don't think you want to shove it down there too far, because then you gotta
get it out.
You gotta get it out because it's eventually gonna
get rotten in there.
Yeah, that's gonna stink. So
the guy at the first potential dojo spot with the juice bar and like the steam room or whatever, he says, "I still need to run your credit," and Johnny's like, "I'd prefer if you don't. Why don't we skip that crap for an old fashioned handshake?" That's good. And then
in the park, he's like talking to that guy. So you mean I can actually do my thing here and here? He's like, yes, it's a park. Can I get back to my family now?
When the middle guy, he's like, this place is as cheap as they come. I had to knock a couple hundred off because of the asbestos. And then when Johnny's in the park teaching the kids, this park will be our dojo because you don't need a dojo to be a dojo. And then he's looking around at all the students. I started Cobra Kai with one nerd, and Miguel's like, huh?
Hey.
This is a step up.
You have to say that.
There's only one animal that can kill a snake. A mongoose? A real animal, Bert. Welcome to Eagle Fang Karate. Eagles don't have fangs. And Miguel had suggested strike hard karate, which I guess Miguel doesn't believe in strike first or no mercy, but maybe he's still okay with strike hard. There was, yeah, the product placement from State Farm and Crystal Light. And then it was funny when Johnny's holding up a frisbee for Miguel to kick. Imagine this is the guy I stole this frisbee from. Okay, just picture his stupid white dreads. All right. Anything else?
I'm good.
Not for me. I think we covered it.
Awesome. We'll take a little break. There is more to come. Stay with us. We're back. It's time for some news.
So one little item, because as Rich said earlier, it's pretty tough to read any news or headlines with the show since we haven't yet finished it, and to avoid spoilers. So one little item. This it's a news item, but it's still kind of speculation at this point. What we're seeing right now, or what I'm reading, is that production on the upcoming fourth season of Cobra Kai has begun.
And nice.
I know. According to a report by Newsweek, the series was rumored to be shooting from January 20th until April 15th. Netflix has not yet made any comment regarding the start date of filming, but there was a now deleted tweet from an actor on the show, or maybe new to the show in season four, I should say, named William Lex Ham, who seemingly confirmed that production for the season four is now underway. That deleted report, that deleted tweet reportedly said, "Heading back to Atlanta because I booked a role on Netflix's Cobra Kai. Much love to the production's health and safety team for the rigorous COVID protocols. My first big production gig since putting my career on hold to volunteer for Yang in September 2019.
Well, so, now he's gotten fired, probably.
Yeah, he's probably like, oh, well, he's off the show now. He done leaked it. But there was a recent interview with LAD Bible where Ralph Macchio revealed that the producers currently have a 6-season plan in place for the
series.
That
sounds great.
Wow. Yeah, and that the cast was more than willing to stay in their roles for the viewers. I don't know that I've heard that before.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
I know. Love I was it. Excited. So Ralph Macchio said, "The writers have always felt they had 6 seasons in their head where the story arcs can go. You don't want to overstay your welcome, but the fans are having fun and there's more story there. As long as we're allowed to keep doing it, Billy and I are in."
I don't see how you could extend this story that long and have these kids fighting each other and still.
Right.
But if they have a plan, that's cool. They've done great so far.
Yeah, so far yeah. So good.
Well, and if they have, you know, a beginning and an end and they just fill out the middle, I feel like that's always a good plan. I'm always for if you have that story in your head and you know that you need this many seasons to tell it and you can write to the end and not just have it up and canceled on you, or you don't quite know where you're going or how you're going to end it. You know, it's always good to have a plan. And if they have a plan, that gives me more confidence. So I was excited to read this. I know that was kind of speculation, but it sounds pretty legit that they're filming right now. And I did hear that there was that the show had an open casting call for kids in Atlanta. So it kind of all these things kind of coming together. You feel like it's probably a safe bet. But I don't know.
I was feeling 5 seasons. But and 6 is like, really? But if they have a plan, then cool.
Well, and they're only 9 episodes. I mean, you know, 9 episodes,
that's true.
30 minutes,
for sure,
you know. So, I don't
good
know.
Point. Yeah,
they might be
point.
Able to do that. So, that's all I've got.
Cool. That's great. That's exciting.
Been...
No, that's good.
Yeah. That was uplifting news.
We don't need any extra stuff. We just need the stuff that's the most exciting. Okay, let's get into our listener feedback, Rich.
Gary Hewitt says, "I am absolutely loving Cobra Kai. Every scene makes me smile and absolutely love the direction they took Chosen in." Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, oops, there's more. Sorry. "They are giving each character a brilliant and meaningful character arc and giving Kreese a heartwarming backstory. is giving me Negan 2.0 vibes.
I don't know how far Gary had gotten in when he wrote that. Maybe because Kreese feels more back to Negan 1.0 now. But Gary, by the way, is the host of the Choose Film podcast that I guested on recently and talked about Karate Kid, which was a really fun experience. They're both the hosts are Scottish, and I would recommend checking that out. It's cool.
Cool.
You want to read the next one?
Me?
Rima.
Oh, sure. This next one is from Karen Doss. She says, "Hi, guys. I'm an original, read as old, wink, wink, fan of the Karate Kid universe. So original that I carried around a picture of Ralph Macchio for quite a while. Hashtag not ashamed. I'm also a huge fan of Harry Potter. You might ask how those two things fit together. Well, I took your advice and finally watched Karate Kid 3, and it occurred to me that there are some similarities between the two stories. First, in how Daniel and Harry respond to problems and danger, rushing in to save the people they care about, like a savior complex. Second, in the relationships between Daniel and Mr. Miyagi and Harry and Dumbledore. I'm interested in your takes on these comparisons, and also whether you see any similarities between the Harry Potter universe and Cobra Kai. Might be thematic elements, certain characters, or the relationships between the characters. Really enjoy listening to your takes on the show, and I appreciate your restraint and not binging the whole season. You're stronger than I was."
I don't know I've seen all the movies, but it's been a while, but it feels like, yeah, Harry and Dumbledore might have a similar relationship to Daniel Miyagi, just a younger person and an older mentor. And, yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Harry just wanting to help and be a hero. Mm. Daniel's like that too. So yeah.
I'm afraid I can't comment. I didn't see the Harry Potter stuff.
It's pretty good. I think you might dig it. You're not that interested?
I tried watching, I think maybe the first one, and I was like, "The hell's wrong with this kid? He's supposed to be a magician or something, right? He hardly ever uses his powers." And I was like, "Yeah, this guy sucks."
You should read the books.
Yeah,
yeah, we have the books
and the movies. I feel like they get better as they go along too.
Oh yeah,
my favorite's number 3. Shelly Champagne says, "Got my T-shirt. It makes me smile, and people who know well, they smile when they see it too." And there's a picture of Eagle Fang Karate here.
Love
That's
it.
Great.
Cool.
Eagle with fangs.
It does look a little bit more menacing that way.
Miguel's like, "How about Johnny Lawrence Karate?" And Johnny's like, "No. Eat something that lets everyone know we're the most badass dojo in the valley." And here is a call from Steve Brown.
"Hello, House Podcastica. This is Steve, and I just finished rewatching episode 7 and 8 for the second time, and I actually made some notes so that I don't lose track. I love the line, 'cause you don't need a dojo to be a dojo.' There at the end of 7, and that scene at the beginning of 7, it had me going back and forth whether Sam was dreaming or not. And up until the moment when she wakes up. But as much as I loved the Karate Kid flashback and Daniel talking to Sam, and, you know, it was cheesy, but I loved it, that rousing music as he's giving her the pep talk and the stuff on the boat. It seems she moves past it pretty quick. Of course, we may still see some lingering effects. And Miguel recovered pretty quick as well. Love the montage at the beginning of 8, showing the three different dojos training, and seeing Daniel's way, Kreese's way, and then Johnny's kind of right in the middle there was great. Yasmin and Dimitri, enough said there. I'm glad that kid got the right size Eagle Fang Karate shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And that ending, Johnny and Carmen, how is this going to work if Allie comes back? And then I think, Jason, you called it. You said Robbie was going to go to Kreese. So I guess, can't wait to hear you guys talk about these two. There's a whole bunch more that I didn't even mention because I don't want to run out of time. But can't wait to hear the podcast, and I'll talk to you later." It was a Karate Kid 3 flashback. As much as we didn't like that movie, or some people didn't like that movie, it was great to see it.
Yeah, I felt bad for Assface, a.k.a. Mitch, when he had that T-shirt that didn't fit all the way, and Johnny's like, "Do more sit-ups or whatever."
More sit-ups, yeah.
But he got it. Shirt that fit him after.
Penis yeah, breath.
That's what works.
Yeah. We'd rather be penis breath. Yeah, Steve, you mentioned that you don't know, or that Sam maybe got over it kind of quickly, but I'm guessing that we'll see some lingering effects, like you mentioned, that she'll still have to overcome this fear that she's had of Tori.
Right. She hasn't seen her yet.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got some work to do still, I think.
All right, that is our show. Thanks for listening, everyone. We've got one more to go. I'm super excited to go watch it right now.
Yeah.
See how it ended up. Then after that, me and David are going to talk about the original Westworld movie. Have you seen that, Rich?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's, you know, from back when we were kids.
Is that based on the Michael Crichton novel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that guy. I should watch that.
So we're going to do that. But if you want to write in about, you know, the final Cobra Kai episodes or whatever you want to talk about, or record a message and send it in, you can email us at waxoff@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/housepodcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
We just did Fight Club, me and Eric. Did you know that?
Yeah, I started listening to it this morning.
Eric, our old friend from back when all of us used to work at a movie theater in the early 90s, he and I talked about Fight Club on Walking Dead Cast. That was pretty fun.
Safe place to talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, we made up a new rule that you were allowed to talk about it on podcasts.
Right, yeah.
And you guys are on the home stretch for The Stand on Strange Indeed.
Yeah, we're getting ready to cover episode 6, and there's 9 total, so we still have a couple more to go. But you know, we're on the downside of it, kind of coming down a little bit and wrapping things up slowly. So, yep.
Cool. Well, next episode of this podcast next week will be Cobra Kai season 3, episodes 9 and 10, Feel the Night, and December 19th. I don't know what significance that day is.
Maybe December 19th.
I don't need to know. That's the title of the finale. Is that the date of the All Valley tournament? I bet it is.
Guess we'll find out.
If it is. We'll find out. All right. Yeah. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Eagle Fang Karate.